Should we let the band go free here? Should we keep them for a few more songs? Or is there going to be a jailbreak and y'all going to leave for the exit? Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Lord is indeed risen, and so will we. We will rise from the dead too. Our text for today is the gospel reading from John chapter 20. And in my mind, this is like the crescendo of the gospel of John. There's another couple chapters, but this is where it all comes to a head. And it comes to a head in the words of all people, Thomas, who says, "My Lord and my God," when he sees the resurrected Christ. He sees who Jesus is, alive again, promising eternal life to you. And he gives us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But we're not going to talk that much about Thomas. But what I want to talk to you today about is the Holy Spirit. Jesus appears, and John, the eyewitness, says, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now, this is not the first time that God breathed on human beings. By breathing on his disciples and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit," Jesus is, in effect, reenacting Genesis 2, verse 7, where it says this, "The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living creature." Today we're going to explore the connection between these two verses. From Genesis about the creation of mankind and what that background does to inform us about what Jesus is doing here in John chapter 20. Now at first glance you might think, well, I don't see any relationship between that except for the fact that God's breathing. And it's not particularly obvious. What does the creation of Adam have to do with what Jesus is doing here with his disciples and to you and me as we receive the Holy Spirit? After all, as our confirmation students have learned, and maybe you all know, the reception of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, in this Christ gives authority to the church, and through the church, to forgive sins, just as in heaven as on earth. Indeed, in Luther's Small Catechism, he uses this passage in John to support this statement. The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Just what Jesus says, basically. On the other hand, in Genesis 2, verse 7, we hear the breath of God giving life to Adam. Well, I want to talk to you about this breath of God, okay? Because in the Greek, if you read the Greek, well, if you don't know Greek, it'd be pretty confusing. But if you read the Greek, he uses the same word here. John uses the same word for breathing into. Our translation says breathing on, but it's not he breathed on you like, okay, you've been breathed on. No, it's more like, and when I was a kid, and you know, you hear this passage, you know, every second Sunday of Easter. We had a My eyes weren't that good, right? I had glasses ever since fourth grade. And so I had an optometrist. I go to the optometrist, you know, and he would, you know, okay, which is better, A or B? A or B? You know that? Okay, and then he has this little part where he looks into your eyes and says, look at that spot of light over there, and then he shines a light in your eye and kind of goes like this, right? Well, my optometrist had this deep breath, you know, and every time it was like, he was breathing on me. So that's what I thought about when I hear this text, Jesus breathed on his disciples. I think of my old optometrist. He was a great man, by the way. Great doctor, too. But Jesus breathed on his disciples, it says. Well, actually, if you read the Greek, it's more like he breathed into them. Okay? He breathed into them. And that's just the same as it is in the Greek translation of Genesis 2, verse 7. God breathed into the nostrils of the man, of this pile of dust, really. And what did he breathe into him? The breath of life. The breath of life. That's what Jesus is doing here too. He's breathing into his disciples and breathing into you and me the breath of life. Now, but you didn't know this. The Greek word for spirit and breath and wind, in fact, is pneuma. We get like, we say pneuma, like pneumatic drill or pneumatic. It's powered by air, right? Pneuma. It means the same thing. It means all these things. Spirit, wind, and breath. So you could translate this, Jesus breathed into them the Holy Spirit or the Holy Breath, the breath of life. The same thing, by the way, in Hebrew. Same word. It's a different word, ruach, but it means the same thing. Spirit, wind, or breath. God breathed into Adam, this lifeless pile of dust, breath. And now Jesus breathes into his disciples this holy breath or this Holy Spirit. Okay, what does that mean? When we think about the forgiveness of sins and what that means to us, life and salvation, this is the life part, okay? When you sin, let's take an example here. In your family, if you sin against your mom or your dad by disobeying them, what happens? It's like there's a rupture in the relationship between you. Okay? You've all been kids, so I'm using that example. But the same thing happens in work. Someone was talking to me this week and said, well, I was working with this guy, and we had basically had the same job, but he spent all his time basically bullying me and like wanting to be the dominant one and telling me what to do, even though we basically had the same job. This is human nature, to just want to dominate over somebody, okay? That breaks the relationship. And what happens when sin happens and when there's conflict and broken relationships is it hurts both parties, okay? Clearly it hurts the person who's being, you know, rubbed the wrong way, who's being sinned against. You know that. You feel it, okay? A little bit of the wind goes out of your sails, so to speak. Well, the same thing happens to the person who's doing the sinning, the one who's doing the dominating, the one who's putting the other person down, who's causing the conflict, the person who's sinning, their heart becomes just a little bit harder. And that keeps happening. And our hearts get hard. And we think about sin and we think about, well, Christ went to the cross, forgave all my sins, so that's all wiped out. Okay, it's like, okay, I've sinned once, twice, three times since the sermon started. Okay? So Christ came and forgave me once, twice, three times. Okay? We're good. All right? And then that's it. But there's more to it. There's more to forgiveness than that. Okay? When you sinned against your parents and you bore the consequences, whatever they were, depending on what your parents do, but they forgave you. What did that forgiveness feel like? We had this conflict. We had this thing separating us, and I was afraid to go into the other room because my parents might yell at me or whatever. That separated us. That pain was there between us. That's what's gone. And what's left when there's forgiveness? You go back to the way things are supposed to be, right? The way things are supposed to be. So, when John says Jesus came and breathed into his disciples the breath of life, the breath of forgiveness, new life, he's breathing in new life into you so that relationship like it was with Adam before the fall is restored. Just like your family relationship is restored when you forgive your son or your daughter. I think of it like this. When you breathe into, say, a balloon, you inflate the balloon, right? Okay? That's what Jesus is doing with your life. It's not like he went to the cross, paid for your sins, and then just left you like a dead balloon there on the ground. No, he picks you up and he fills you with the breath of the Holy Spirit. That's what forgiveness means. You got a new life. You've got a new relationship with God. And therefore, you can have a new relationship with the people in your life. And you can live that life. You can live that family life the way it's supposed to be. And all of those things which cringe your heart and damage your heart and damage the heart of the other person, those can be let go and filled with something new. New life. That's what the forgiveness of sin brings. And he gives that spirit to you to give you faith so that you can share that with others. Faith in Christ and what he has done for you. Forgiveness of sins. Now, how do you know you have that? We're going to do a little test. All right? I want you all to close your eyes and take a deep breath, okay? Hold it for a second and let it go. All right. Now, you can open your eyes. Wake up now. Okay. Now, this is just like an experiment. I just wanted to show you what happened here. Okay, Pastor Nickel, in his mind, thought of some words that he wanted to say. He had certain meaning that he wanted to convey to you. Okay? And then, somehow, in God's gracious wisdom, he used his voice and the air in his chest and his lips and his tongue and made things that we call words, which are just sound waves that travel through the air to your ears, which somehow your brain translated into words that you heard, and you conveyed that into meaning, and then your mind decided to close your eyes and breathe in deeply and hold it for a second and then breathe out. Now, you were going to breathe pretty much whether I said that or not. But you closed your eyes and you did it the way that you did it, if you did it. And you decided in your mind whether you were going to do that. And you and this is what life is. This is how the Holy Spirit works. He comes to you through words, okay? And he enters your ear and your brain, your mind. Not just this pile of dust. And your will was in there. Your mind and your will and your soul, that's part of you, listened and heard and made a decision of what you're going to do. Why are you? Am I going to listen to Pastor? Am I going to close my eyes? It feels kind of weird. I'm Lutheran and I don't like doing all that stuff. But you did. And maybe there was a struggle in your mind. You know, that seems kind of weird to me. I'm not going to do it. Or maybe I'm going to do it. Or who knows what you're thinking. All this stuff happens. That's the Holy Spirit working in your soul, in your spirit, working with you, filling you. And there's a struggle sometimes in there. I believe that, of course. But the Holy Spirit is working. Now, we're going to try it again. We're going to say what Thomas said, okay? He said, "My Lord and my God." I'm going to ask you to say, "My Lord and my God." Okay. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Do the same thing, except it was God's Word, and you reflected God's Word. So don't tell me the Holy Spirit isn't active in your life. You just felt it. You just saw it. You just did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you felt, "I'm not going to do that," okay, well, maybe the Holy Spirit isn't in your life. But maybe He's just asking you to consider who Jesus is and what He's done for you. Because He's promised you eternal life. He came back from the dead to give that to you. To show you what forgiveness is and what your life can be. And that starts today. Or it starts when you're baptized, I guess, when the Holy Spirit first comes to you. You can see what life is supposed to be like and how it's being restored by God. And how it's going to be on the last day. That's when everyone is going to say, "My Lord and my God." You get to say, you already said it. You're there early. Okay? That's what the Holy Spirit gives you. To be there early. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise and